Eleven. That's your name? Eleven. Okay. Well, my name's Mike, short for Michael. Maybe we can call you L, short for 11. Well, okay. Night, L. Night, Mike.
Hello, and welcome back to another podcast. Another episode of Stranger Thursdays. It's Thursday again. If you're not listening to this on Thursday, then it's a different day.
So, we're back here. Once again, I'm Paulina.
And I'm Anthony. And we're going to be talking about episode 2 of the Netflix original series, Stranger Things. We're going to be talking about the weirdo on Maple Street. So the first thing that I really randomly thought about while rewatching this, and then my brother brought it up, was that the suggested, like when you finish the episodes of Stranger Things, the suggested show is Twilight Zone, and there's actually a Twilight Zone episode titled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. So I feel like the Duffers were trying to tie in the Twilight Zone somehow by titling their episode The Weirdo on Maple Street, because I don't even think in the series they talk about a Maple Street, do they?
Isn't that actually, I'm thinking about right now, when they're finding Will and then Hopper questions the boys,
that's Mirkwood.
Oh shit,
they're like Mirkwood, it's a made up street, whatever.
Yeah, but then the real street, what's the name of the real
street? I don't know. I was gonna go back and look through the episode, but I was too lazy. But yeah, they do say that it's like one street combined with another street, and they call it Mirkwood. But I don't know if it was Maple Street. If it is Maple Street, then I'm wrong. But if it's not Maple Street, then I don't understand why the Duffers would title an episode The Weirdo on Maple Street if we aren't even given a Maple Street in the town.
Right. So then, do you know what the Twilight Zone episode would be about?
Well, I looked up the summary, because I didn't watch The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, which I'm pretty sure it's probably on Netflix because they suggest it. But in a quick, brief summary, it's like a town's power goes out and all the neighbors say that it's aliens, but then they end up accusing each other. So like one neighbor's like, oh, this neighbor turned off your power and they're in on this big scam. So like the whole town breaks out into like mass hysteria just over lights, and then at the end we find out that it actually is aliens, or are aliens turning off the lights, and they're just doing it to mess with the town and see them turn on each other. And I don't understand how that would tie in to Stranger Things. I mean, it is about aliens,
right? And the whole thing with the lights and electricity
with Will, how he speaks through the lights, I guess. Yeah, it could tie in. Maybe it was like a little hint of foreshadow that the lights were gonna be important.
I mean, it's plausible.
I mean, the Duffers are some crazy people who like to,
I'm pretty sure they
make connections.
Every little thing they do is like a detail, like an Easter egg.
For real, like all the episode titles probably mean more than what we're taking into consideration.
Yeah, obviously, except for episode 1, it's like
the vanishing of Will Byers.
Yeah, it's
that one's pretty straightforward. But that was just the first thing that I really noticed, and then when I rewatched it, my brother was like, oh, that's so weird because the Twilight Zone episode is named that. And I was like, I know, I made that connection. So
I didn't even know that, and I actually like the Twilight Zone. I watched it too.
So do you want to go over like a little summary really quick of what happens in the episode, the main points, and then I'll go over my notes. My notes are just little side notes that I wrote.
So the kids run into Eleven and they're like getting acquainted. Right? And I guess everybody's favorite scene would be when Eleven kind of has to change out of her clothes and then the boys kind of freak out over that, and like they slowly learn that she's like, she doesn't understand most of their terminology, like the term friends or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then
what are friends?
Yeah, right. And then
we're just given like the backstory of Will and kind of like his parents and how they're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're broken up, And then there's the party at the end that Barb's goes to. Barb's and right. Nancy. And that's kind of the whole mm-hmm. thing.
Well, actually, between all of that happening, Will's mom, Joyce, she actually gets the calls. She starts getting the calls with, like, the weird staticky mm-hmm. sounds.
At the end of episode one, but yeah, and then the second one.
Yeah, But I wanted to bring up that, like, that's also very prevalent in a lot of, I guess you could say, horror films, mystery films, even, like, in TV shows. That like staticky noise or like that mysterious phone call.
Yeah, like in Scream. Well, that's like the voice, the certain yeah. killer, but.
Yeah, but like it has like all those elements that kind of like reel in the.
Vintage horror.
Yeah, the feel that the Duffer Brothers really wanted to bring into the show. And for me, what it reminded me about was, I don't know if you guys watch Doctor Who, but. There's like several reoccurring episodes about these like monsters, I guess, and they're called the Silence, and they're pretty scary. It's like, yeah, and then they make kind of like that weird eerie sound, that same sound that comes out of the phone when Joyce gets a phone call. So.
Well, maybe that played into the Duffer's inspiration. Because I know they took on a lot of inspiration from several different shows and producers and directors that they enjoyed. So maybe whoever directed Doctor Who was one of their inspirations. Isn't that on Netflix as well?
Yeah.
Check it out on Netflix.
Thank God for Netflix. If you want to sponsor us, let us know.
Yeah, we're shouting out Twilight Zone on Netflix, Doctor Who, Stranger Things, E.T. last episode. We're shouting out all the Netflix
right, programs. And then it's also kind of science fiction-y. It falls in the mm-hmm. same category, so.
So I just wanted to discuss, when I first watched the series, I watched it in one day. So I sat for eight consecutive hours and watched all eight episodes. And I feel like I missed some of the little funny jokes or little funny lines, I guess, one-liners that many of the characters have, especially Dustin. And right here, I had wrote down that he was talking about, Lucas was talking about how Eleven was probably from like a nut house. And I wrote down Kearney County, I guess that's what it was called. And then Dustin just throws in like, oh yeah, how do you know you got like a lot of family there? And it just made me laugh like so hard because I don't remember him saying that. And I feel like as I continue to rewatch this show and the series and the episodes, I'm going to be like, I don't remember these things being said, but I'm going to try and remember this time. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I also know that they said that she could be a psycho, and then they affiliated Psycho with Michael Myers, which in my head I thought Norman Bates, because that's like the original Psycho, like the one where he's like in the shower with the knife. And I looked it up, and Norman Bates came out like 20 years before this allegedly takes place in 1983 or whatever. So I don't know why they didn't reference Norman Bates. I guess because people like Michael Myers better.
Yeah.
And maybe because Michael Myers came out more recently and like the kids are supposed to portray kids that know a lot of pop culture from the 80s. So maybe Michael Myers had came out recently and they just referenced Michael Myers because of the year. But I mean, when I think of Psycho, I think of Norman Bates. But the Duffer Brothers wanted Michael Myers.
Right. So,
I don't know, did you want to say anything?
I just kind of wanted to go back to when you mentioned, like, you didn't care that Barb just, like, that, like, gets pulled into the...
Okay, when we were summarizing, we do see that Barb disappears, but it's not until episode 3 that we completely see what happens. Right. So I'm going to save that Barb's disappearance discussion for episode 3. So if you want to hear us cry over the loss of Barb's, then be sure to stick around for the next episode. But yeah, at the end of this episode, Barb does go missing and nobody knows.
Yeah, and then I don't know if this has any reference, but oh man, I should probably like bring this up next episode then. I'm not bringing it up this episode. Right, so Jaws came out in what, like mid 70s, something like that.
I think
70s. Yeah.
The 70s?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remembered because I just had my intro to film class on Friday. And he showed us, like, the intro, like, the first scene of Jaws.
So, yeah, it came out in 1975, like the band.
Right, so...
Check out 1975 on iTunes.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to wait, but anyways. So later on, Nancy kind of figures out that the monster, the Demogorgon, is attracted to blood, and Jaws is attracted to blood. So
yeah, that's a really good reference. I haven't really watched Jaws, so I wouldn't know, like, the rules to Jaws or, like, what they find out. But yeah, I think I do remember. I don't know where I would have known. Probably from going to Universal's. Jaws does like blood, and the Demogorgon likes blood, so that could be a reference that Duffer was trying to make.
And I think there's, like, a picture of a shark in the book that she was, like, flipping through.
Oh, in the series?
Yeah.
When she was trying to find out what the monster is, or what it could be.
Kinda, yeah. I'm pretty sure. She probably watched that movie and then kind of...
Well, I don't know if Jaws is on Netflix, but if Jaws is on Netflix, check it out. As I kept watching through, I did take note that Mike gave Eleven a nickname, and that was super cute to me. I don't know why. If you listen to the first episode, I talked about how it was cute that Eleven mimicked Mike, and that happens in this episode, and I took notes on that too. But just like Mike is like, oh yeah, it's Mike, short for Michael, and then he was like, we can call you L, short for Eleven. I was like, oh my god, can you give me a nickname too, please? I thought it was really cute and friendly, like...
Yeah, and then...
I don't know, I guess he just didn't think calling her a number, like, just seeing her as another number, like the lab does. You know how
right.
The lab was, like, experiment one, experiment two. Like, I guess he wanted to see her as, like, an actual person, so he changed the name. Like, this would be a really bad reference, but if you watch the recent Star Wars... The stormtrooper, I forgot his name, but I think his last name is Boyega or something. When he escapes, his name is like FN1123 something something. And the other main character is just like, oh, we'll call you Finn because of FN. So like he changes his name because he doesn't want to call him this generic number that the computer gave him because he's just another stormtrooper, this another experiment. He changed it and made her feel unique and have her own name.
Right, and then even in the scene where she does tell him her name, like, his face is kind of like, 11, like, that's her name, you know?
Yeah, and he's also like that because he's like, I've never seen a kid with a tattoo.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, dang.
Right, and then if there's any of you guys that are, like, bilingual or anything, I actually rewatched, like, the whole thing, in Spanish, and like the characters actually speak in Spanish, like they have an over voice, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Voiceovers.
But yeah, and he actually like 11 is once, and then Mike calls her se. Like I don't know, that's cute too.
Like half of once.
Yeah, just
the end half.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cute to me, and since we're talking about it, I'll just talk about the mimicking too. How he was like. Talking to her about something, and then he was like, understand, and then when she was breaking down, because she was crying in the closet, he came back, and he was like, are you okay? Are you fine? And she was like, yeah, understand, or something. I was like, she's crying, but she's mimicking Mike, and it was really cool to see how she can take that, oh no, not understand, she said promise. He was like, promise, because he was like, I'll come back for you, or something. And then she was crying, and he was like, are you okay? And she said, yeah, promise. And I was like, it's pretty cool to see her mimicking, I keep saying it, but mimicking Mike's words, because she's like learning and understanding what the meaning of these words are, and then in her next sentence, she's already using them and completely understands the definition and the context of what to use the word with.
Right. She's very intelligent. And, like, she grasps on, like, ideas really easily.
And then another little comical moment was when they're at the breakfast table the next morning and Mike was talking to Nancy and he was like, oh yeah, I do a lot of studying last night. And she was like,
anatomy.
Yeah. That was so funny. Because she was like, yeah. And he was like, what's your test on? Human anatomy. And I was like, dang, burned right there. And I know that on Twitter, everyone's talking about how, like, Mike is so sarcastic in the show, but yet he's, like, so sarcastic in real life, too. Like, Finn,
yeah.
When he burned Jimmy Fallon, I still can't get over that. Can you host? Like, every time I watch that, it makes me laugh. And it's, like, the characters in the show aren't just these characters that are made up by the Duffer Brothers, but they also, like, acquire the certain characteristics and aspects of the actual actor. Like, Finn apparently is super sarcastic in real life, and he was able to show that sarcasm through his dialogue, through furthering the story while adding a little comical relief. And I'm just gonna say that every time I see something funny that I didn't recognize the first time I watched it, I'm going to make note of it in my little notes, and I'm definitely going to talk about it. So
I also, like, just remembered what I was gonna say. And I was gonna say that it's, like, it's kind of also sad that, like, she has to learn all of these kind of basic terms because I guess she didn't have enough, like, interactions in the Hawkins facility. And then that's also kind of weird to see because, like, if she's number 11 and then there's might be other kids, then, like, they don't even...
Well, other experiments. We don't know if they're, like, kids per se, you know?
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, because they were talking about how the Demogorgon could have been, like, one of their experiments gone bad. And I don't think the Demogorgon is a kid unless, like, it acquired this weird power and took on, like, a morph. Morphation, is that a word?
Right.
I'm
scared.
So, I don't know.
But, yeah, because then that would make sense, like, as to why they would, like, push her to, like, I guess interact with that thing.
Yeah.
Because they really...
didn't make contact.
Yeah.
Also, to throw in there how she's, like, learning all these things, too, and how it's, like, her first time. I did want to just throw out that when she is, like, what is friend, Dustin and Lucas look at each other like she seriously doesn't know this basic word, like, friend. Like, who doesn't know what that means? And it's, like, she doesn't. But she's learning. So, this was interesting to me. I wrote down, government records all calls, which in certain scenes we do see, like, these people working on the telephones and on the computers and stuff, but it's just weird because they were able to tap into the phone and that's how they were able to kill Benny in the last episode, because they're, like, listening to him talking to the social worker or whatever to come pick up 11. And then they pounced on the opportunity and they went to Benny's little restaurant and tried to pick up 11 before the actual social worker got there. And then also, they were able to hear everything Joyce said to the police, because she didn't speak to Hopper. She was like, can Hopper get here as fast as possible? This happened, I need help. They were able to listen to that, and then I think we even see them later on in the episode in, like, full gear, like, they're in the lab, and they're investigating her house when she's not there.
Right.
So, I just found it weird that the government records the calls, like, I mean, is that happening in real life? Like,
yeah.
Is the government recording my calls right now?
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we should be worried?
I mean, you're not hiding anything, so...
Well, what if I don't know? What if I have, like, something I don't want everyone to know about?
Do you really care if somebody's listening to you, like, say confessions to somebody, you know, like, on the phone? Like, I don't care.
Well, in this case, they were able to use it to their advantage. And they were able to hear what they're talking about. Also, I put that if her phone got fried, how was she able to make the call to the police, to the sheriff, saying, my phone got fried, can Hopper come? Like, if your phone's fried, how are you going to make the phone call? Did she go somewhere?
Or did she say that?
Well, that's what they're listening to. They're listening to, the government is listening to a recorded call of Joyce, and she's like, this happened. Can you get Hopper here as soon as possible? And then that's when Hopper was like, I came as fast as I could. And she was like, 6 hours. I called you guys 6 hours ago. And I'm like, how can you, like, did you go somewhere? Because we don't see her buy a new phone until after Hopper comes. So it's like, how did you make the call? Did you go, like...
She probably went somewhere, yeah. Because we don't see her making the call. We just hear it.
Yeah, true. I guess she could have gone somewhere with a payphone. I don't know. By the library.
I mean, yeah. That's, payphones were available during that time.
I guess that's unseen. We can't really say it didn't happen, but...
Right, yeah. And then while Barb is there, Barb and Nancy are at the... Steven is friends, and then Jonathan is taking
stalking them. He's looking for his brother. That's what he says.
Like to find some clues through the pictures that he takes. Mm. And I think it's really cool, the kind of what he has. Well, I'm gonna skip over it to when he has to develop them. And I think it's I like that whole process.
With the red light, and he's putting in water.
No, it's
or in the.
Hydrogen.
Yeah.
Side, right?
Yeah. That's what we had to do a couple times.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see how they went through all this with all these props and all to really bring back that feel, that ambiance of being in the 80s, because obviously there wasn't digital cameras to where you can click and look at it. You had to go and get it developed to be able to see what you took a picture of.
Right. And it's so crazy how he was able to take a photo of the Demogorgon.
He kind of got the Demogorgon in the background, but he got Barb's last moments.
Right.
So, I guess that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool because he obviously didn't see it. Nobody has seen it in the real world. They've only seen it in the Upside Down. Or yeah, they have. It does come through the real world, right?
That's in the next episode. Oh no, at the end of the next episode. That's when Joyce sees it.
Oh, right.
I mean, the guy in Hawkins' lab in the first episode that gets eaten in the first 5 minutes, he saw it in the real world, so...
Right, and then, so it's, proven that it's not a vampire, and you can actually see it. You can't see a vampire,
through pictures, yeah.
Pictures.
Did they suggest that it was a vampire?
I know, but I'm just saying.
You're just throwing it out there. Anyone with conspiracy theories about the Demogorgon being a vampire, Paulina just solved it. It's not a vampire, okay?
I don't know. I just saw various Dracula films.
I also wanted to throw out there that when Eleven was looking at the pictures of the family and at Nancy, she points, I think, specifically at Nancy, and she's pretty. And I thought that was really mind-blowing because she wanted to be pretty, and in the next episodes we see Mike put on makeup for her and she puts on the wig, and then when she's done she asks if she's pretty. So she's trying to live up to this expectation of what the world wants and what the world thinks is pretty. And she eventually was able to, I guess, achieve what she thought was pretty and what Mike thought was pretty good. Pretty good. That's what he says. I was trying to quote the show. Okay. If anyone understood, if anyone got that. I thought that was cool. And then the use of different bands, when we see the flashback to when they're listening to The Clash.
Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, they're listening on a record player, which I have in my room. But he does not only talk about The Clash, he talks about how he made him this mixtape and how Will can have the mixtape because it has Joy Division and David Bowie and The Smiths and The Clash, and that'll change your life. And I'm like, I'm gonna start listening to all these bands because I need my life to change right now. But I just thought it was really cool to hear all those bands, and we actually hear another song at the end, but I'll talk about it a little bit later. And then in that same scene, Jonathan says, you shouldn't like things because people tell you you're supposed to. And I think last time we were talking about this, but it was not being recorded, so maybe we should talk about it again so we can discuss. But you were asking if Will might be gay, or not be interested in women, I guess, or girls. And I did talk about I don't think I talked about it, but I talked about it with you, how in the first episode...
But Joyce doesn't use the word gay.
In the first episode, she was like, oh, Lonnie joked around and said he was, like, queer. And then she said fag, but she didn't want to say it. Like, she...
hesitated.
Yeah. And then she, like, mumbled it. And Hopper was like, is he? And I mean, I don't see how that would play a factor into it, but then again, it was the 80s and people were very unaccepting of certain things, so I guess they could see that if he was slightly different than everyone else, someone might have wanted to abduct him or bully him or get rid of him. But yeah, and then I guess this quote could tie into it about how he shouldn't like what everyone else thinks he's supposed to like. So, like, if he doesn't like girls, then he shouldn't have to like girls. And that, even when the dad wanted to take him to go to play baseball, which is, like, a manly kind of sport, and, like, people get dirty, do all that stuff, and he didn't want to. He said he didn't really enjoy it. And then Jonathan was like, does he ever take you to the arcade or do fun stuff or listen to The Clash? Or, yeah, The Clash.
Whatever he likes
to do. Yeah. And, like, Jonathan can relate more to Will than the dad. So, I mean, I guess it could tie into how he could be slightly different. We're not saying it's, like, his sexuality or if he's interested in girls or boys, but maybe there is something different about Will that we could possibly see in the future in season 2 or multiple seasons because of what you said earlier. You want to explain that?
Yes, I have some news. Okay, so apparently David Harbour, right, the actor that plays Hopper. So he was at Comic-Con, I think. Yeah,
I saw some pictures. He was there with Millie, took pictures together, and it was super cute.
And if you don't know their names by now, Millie is 11.
And David Harbour is Hopper.
Right. So, I guess they were discussing the whole love triangle thing between Nancy and Jonathan and Steve. And he kind of alluded to the fact that it'll kind of keep on happening throughout a couple seasons. So we aren't just going to get two. We might get more.
So he said that there will be multiple seasons with an S, foreshadowing that they could be signed for multiple seasons. So we'll talk more about Hopper next episode, because that's when he gets like all badass and starts actually being a cop, detective, sheriff, whatever. So... really quick, I just wanted to throw out there that the lake pit that we do see, I believe, is the same one that is filmed in The Walking Dead season 2, I think. So, yeah, I made that connection. I mean, that's not really a connection. It's just like, oh, we filmed in the same location, so there's
it's
obviously going to be...
Yeah.
Yeah, The Walking Dead films in Atlanta, too, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess it's just like a coincidence that they possibly could have been... in the same place, but yeah. And then I also have a note about how her nose bled, because the last episode I talked about how it didn't bleed, how she stopped the fan and it didn't bleed, and then how she killed the guys and we didn't see it bleed, but you said that she could have wiped it because she did that in multiple episodes. But we finally do see her nose bleed in this episode when Lucas is trying to leave. He's like, danger, what kind of danger? That's Dustin. But Lucas is like, we need to tell your mom, like I said, and he's like about to open the door, and then she slams it, and then he tries to open it again, and she slams it again, and then we finally see her nose bleeding, and she's like, no.
Yeah, and Nick scares them.
Yeah, that was probably the best scene.
I mean, Dustin didn't even want to eat. That's something.
Yeah.
Wow.
For real, when they're done. Downstairs. So we finally see her nosebleed, and I don't know why we see her nosebleed for the first time. Like, what is the difference between slamming a door and stopping a fan? Like, they don't seem like it would take that much work.
Well, she had to do it various times, so.
Well, she slammed it twice. One more time. I do kind of randomly just thought right now when I was speaking, though, that maybe her nosebleeds when she uses her powers for bad, or like for anger, like when she has to be angry about it. Because like stopping the fan, she may have seemed like a little bit mad, but she didn't put like her full anger into stopping the fan. Like, she wasn't gonna kill the fan, she just wanted it to be off. But, like, when she was slamming the door, like, she was angry. She didn't want Lucas to tell his mom, or Mike's mom. She didn't want anyone to find out about all this danger. So she actually used anger to slam the door. And maybe that's why she was bleeding. And when she kills the bad guy, she uses anger as well. I know you want to speak. Okay, go.
Well, maybe it's, like, when her powers are, like, draining, her nose starts to bleed. Because she was eating when she stopped the fan.
Oh, and yeah, true. So when she's, like, not energized, when she doesn't have enough strength.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that can be a conspiracy
another,
as
yeah,
well. Maybe
theory.
If the Duffers want to come on to our show, you can come and explain to us why her nose bleeds at certain moments. Also, disclaimer, if anyone listening does happen to get into contact with a cast member and wants to surprise us and get them on our show, that would be great. We will find out how to do phone call interviews or whatever if you guys can't fly out to LA or you don't want to just sit in my basement and listen to us talk. We can talk over the phone. I'm completely fine with that.
Phone interview, Skype interview, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you guys want to do. We're down for any of the cast.
Anyone, even like one of the cameramen.
So my last notes are just about, okay, this one I guess can tie into her superpowers, that Eleven knew what game piece Will used, which was pretty cool. She like picked up the little wizard guy and she was like, Will. And then Dustin was like, I don't know what he said. He said something like psycho or freaky. No, he said something like magic. I don't know. He says just like one word, and yeah, it was just weird because she knew what piece Will was, and then she picked the Demogorgon piece, which is what Will lost by, you know? Like, he lost Dungeons and Dragons because of the Demogorgon. And then ever since she decided it was the Demogorgon, that's what they considered the monster to be called. So, like, if she would have picked, like, the Troglobites or whatever, he says, like, imagine them being afraid of the Troglobites or whatever. I'm just saying, like, she picked the Demogorgon, and then ever since that little scene, they considered the monster the Demogorgon. Have you ever thought about that? Because, well, I mean, there's multiple monsters in Dungeons & Dragons. She could have picked a different one.
Is there a reason why specifically? Do you know, like?
Well, I said because he lost and the Demogorgon got him, so then she used the Demogorgon. You know what I mean?
Oh, and then like she didn't.
Because he had to like fireball or roll a 7 or a 13,
right,
whatever.
But she didn't know. Your point is she didn't know.
Yeah, she didn't know, and then she picked it still, uh-huh, which is crazy. And then my last notes are mainly about the party and Barb's. She gives like a orgy pep talk about how the two guys oh god.
Oh my god, I was watching it with my mom, and when she said that, I was like, what? I didn't hear that. I didn't.
Yeah, in the car, she's talking about how Tommy and Carol have been doing it since like sixth grade or something.
Yeah, too.
And
don't watch that. How with their parents.
How Steve only wants her for sex, and how they're probably gonna get in there and it's just gonna be one big orgy party and stuff. And I was like, orgy pep talk, awesome. But I mean, it was cool because Barb's like, everyone knows that, if you've watched it, everyone knows that Barb's is like the mom, the second mom of Nancy. Like, she's looking out for her and worrying for her and stuff. So it was cool to see her give Nancy the talk, I guess, in the car right in front of the party. But, yeah, and then I put Barb's as me at parties because she doesn't know how to cut the beer open, I guess, and she cuts herself, and I feel like that would be me. She also just kind of sits there quietly, so I feel like that would also be me. And then
you'd be super boring at a party.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
No, that's literally, like, all of us, we relate to that, to Barb specifically.
Yeah, Barb's is such a relatable character, and I feel like that's why everyone loves them. And in an interview...
And we care.
Yeah.
We care.
In an interview, they were like, what character do you think is sparking up the most interest? And they all picked Dustin. Well, it was just Caleb and Gayton. And Caleb was like, I think Dustin. And then they were like, I think Barb's. And then Gayton and Caleb was like, look, you need to get over Barb's because she's not coming back. She's
God.
Dead. And I was like, you guys killed my dreams. Like, you have no idea.
Is-
how much of the fan base loves Barbs, and then just to see Gaten and Caleb just be like, who cares about Barbs? She's gone. I was like, whoa. Did you not watch the show as a fan? Did you watch the show as your character? Because all fans love Barbs. The last thing that I have written down is just really quick. During the pool scene, they play I'll Stop the World and Melt With You. And I thought that was really cool because if you've heard that song, if you've watched the episode,
yeah.
It's like the little acapella part where it's like, and then when the beat like kicks in or like the drums is like, they're like jumping in the pool and they get pushed in the pool. I thought that was like really cool. It reminded me of a music video, to be honest. And I don't know, I just felt like it was really 80s, like a really 80s thing to do. And the Duffer Brothers really captured not only the 80s feel, but like what a typical 80s music video would have been, I guess. So hats off to you, Duffer Brothers, again. I keep saying that, but you guys are freaking awesome.
That's why it's so good, because they like hit every
point, like, aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for today. At the end of the episode, we do see that Barbs gets taken by the Demogorgon because she's bleeding, and that's it. And then we will talk to you next Thursday. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I feel like I kind of talked a lot, but you did add some good points and some good conspiracies and some good news about how there could be multiple seasons, multiple more seasons.
Yes!
So if you enjoyed this, thank you. Please subscribe. We are Stranger Thursdays. And we have an Instagram account. It's called Stranger Thursdays. We have a Twitter, or we're going to make a Twitter, and it's probably going to be called Stranger Thursdays as well. So I hope you enjoyed. Leave a comment or something. Subscribe, share with your friends, and thank you. Have a strange Thursday. That was so cheesy.
Went over by like 11 minutes.